About 8.5 years ago, I was in a very bad way, in a very bad place. My relationship with God was so small and so little, it almost felt like I did not know Him at all. I didn't have anybody educate me and teach me about all the things that religion is. And I didn't have anybody come and try to tell me what I should put on and how I should act in order to be delivered. But God approached me with His love and showed me that I can lay off the life of my sin and become a brand new man. And I'm not standing here as somebody that was always perfect. I'm not standing here tonight as somebody that's always had it together. But I'm standing here tonight because I found a God that loved me. He found me. He redeemed me. He said, let me have all the sin that you've got. I'm going to turn you into something bigger. I'm going to turn you into something better. And He took all of my iniquity, all of my wretchedness, and He saved my soul. And as I believe in Him today, He has made my life to be a brand new way, and it's given me hope beyond any hope that I could have ever had on my own. I was addicted to drugs, and some of you may have never put it on your lips, but I'm telling you, when you're in a bondage that you can't even get out of on your own, when you meet a God that says, give me all of this and I'll make you new, and actually supplies and does what He says, that gives me something to believe in. I'm just going to ask you to do what the Word of God says. Are you ready? Come on, stand up right now. Hallelujah. The Bible tells me to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, we're going to do that for about 30 seconds to a minute. I don't want you to let up until you feel the presence of God in you. Now somebody begin to praise Him in this place. Father, we're so thankful that we're saved. We're so thankful, God, that you're with us. Lord, we praise you for getting us here today. Lord, the enemy has tried to knock the wind out of our sails, but bless God, I know, Lord, that you're moving for your people, that you've sent a word to encourage, that you've sent healing to revive, you've sent power to strengthen those that are weak. And God, we believe, Lord, that Thou art moving and making a way where there seemeth to be no way. And God, we give You reverence and praise. We give You reverence and praise. We give You reverence and praise. Come on, open up your mouth and just say, thank You, Jesus. You might not know how you're going to make it tomorrow, but thank You, Jesus. I'm still here today. You might not know where the next bill's going to be paid, but thank God you're still standing. He didn't want you to be hopeless, but you have hope in Jesus Christ. You have hope in Jesus Christ. Look over at your neighbor and say, you have hope tonight. God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You have hope in Christ Jesus. The devil wants us to come in like we just had all the air knocked out of us. But somebody take a deep breath in here right now. Oh, just let that stress off of you for a second. Now just give it to God and say, Lord, it's yours right now. Lord, it's yours right now. I know we've been stressed out this week, but that's what I've said every time the devil's tried to come and take my joy. I say, Lord, take this stress from me. It's bigger than I am. And Lord, you're bigger than me. And you can handle this far more than what I can do. Who has hope in Jesus Christ in here right now? Oh, friends, there's a world out there that needs to hear your voice. There's eyes out there that need to see you alive. There's people out there that need to see God in you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I just had to get you warmed up because you know God's got something good in store for you tonight. I will not dilly-dally. Go with me to the book of Deuteronomy in the 8th chapter. Tonight we're going to read from verse 11 through to verse 19. While you're getting there, I'll just say, on behalf of the church, we're glad you come tonight. God bless you for being here on such a cold day. Lord will warm you up. It's about to get hot up in here in a few minutes. You might not feel the heat outside, but maybe you'll feel some heat inside if you know what I mean tonight. Has God been good to you this week? Amen. He's been good to all of us because we're still here, still standing. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Are you with me tonight? I want you to wrap these words in your mind. Get whatever it is that's trying to keep you distracted out And I want you to focus here for about 5 minutes and really get a hold of this word. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest thou, when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and flocks multiply, and thy silver and gold is multiplied, and all thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which bring thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great, somebody say great, and say that terrible wilderness. That great and terrible wilderness. I don't know if we're going to get to verse 19 or not. Wherein, where fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. We read in the Gospels about how that the Son of God was sent, that we would not perish. So thank God that we have a way out and that we don't have to perish. But we're reading out of a scripture where there was a group of people that were enslaved to work out of their own control. And God saw them and did not want them to stay there. Tonight, God gave me a word, one word, and I wanted to say this word to you tonight before I forget. He has not called us just to be underdogs, but he has called us to be overcomers. Hallelujah. He takes that which could not have done it on its own and causes a way to be made where there is no way. So you might feel like the underdog when you're looking at your situation. You might not feel like that you can accomplish what you're setting forth to do, but I have come tonight. I drove 40 miles to get here tonight and could not wait to tell you that you're not an underdog, but you're an overcomer by the God that you serve. You are not alone. You are not forsaken. You are not without a friend. You are not without a Savior. You are not without help. You're not without provision. You're not without manna. You're not without water. You're not without a way. You're not without truth. And you're not without life. He has given you everything to cause you to go and remember who you are. Who are you tonight? Are you only defined by your earthly success? Are you only defined by how much you make? I'm glad it's not that. Because how many can amen? We don't get paid enough to do what we do today. None of us do. We have to learn not to forget the Lord. You read in the book of Leviticus about how they separated so much time out just to give honor, reverence, praise. Now, the Sabbath was the Sabbath then, not what we have the Sabbath as now. The Sabbath then didn't involve sport, recreation, sweeping our floor on Sunday afternoon. The Sabbath that was made then was a time where we were to remember how that God is our source, and he is our help, and he is everything that we need. But how many of you can identify that when we get so busy with everything that we're trying to do in life, that our focus on having time just devoted to him is small? In the spectrum of all your life, we're only given just a little bit. In the spectrum of all the time that God has given us to be obedient and to be a difference maker and be a way maker and be a way of escape for somebody, we only give so little to the Lord. You want to know how that God has been revealing this to me? First things that some of us think about in the morning are the things that we've got to get done. First things that we try to deal with are the things that people's done to hurt us or mess with us. And it's the first things that come to our mind. The things about how somebody said something at church and now I'm mad and I can't obey the Lord because I'm mad about it. All these things that get in our mind about the things we've got to do at the job. And even though you're sitting here breathing and looking at me, making eye contact with me, you're not even here with me. Your mind is somewhere else worried about something else that's going on elsewhere. There was a time when God had allotted for mankind to have a true and real Sabbath. There was a time when mankind found it worthwhile to take time to honor just the Lord, to honor just His ways, to honor where they had come from. But our Sabbath today is a far cry from what Sabbath once was. Sunday's just a day off, right? And the Lord spoke something very peculiar to me. He showed me that the things that I deal with on a daily basis would be easier if I opened up my life more than just a little bit to allow Him to minister to my weakness. Some of us could be stronger just by giving a little bit more than a little to the Lord. You, when you work your job, some of you are on salary, some of you are on wages. If you looked and saw your bank statement and they only gave you $5 for 2 weeks' labor, you'd be beginning to wonder what the deal is. Because when you give a wholehearted labor for your work, you're expecting a recompense in what you give. We give 40-plus hours to our job. We give passion and devotion and our attention, and we steal away and put everything else. We put family out of the way to do our job. We put away all the drama in our life to make sure we do our job, because at the end of the day, we stand in need to receive what will help us get through and pay the other things in our life, right? Are you ready? I've been holding back. I wanted to be gentle. But we're about to get real. There's not going to be a song that's powerful enough to make you as anointed as you could be if you gave more time to Him. There's not a sermon I can preach. There's not one. I've got 260 on the internet. You could listen to all of them back to back, and it wouldn't make you as strong as you could be if you isolated time and let the Lord have your heart. Let Him have your troubles. Let Him have your pain. Let Him have the things that concern you, because when you give God a true, humble heart, He lets you inherit the earth. He gives you the strength to overcome the things that are ahead of you. And I find it to be profound that He calls us, when we want to be strengthened, to not look forward, but to look back and recall. To put in remembrance the things that God has done. Every step that I take when I move forward is not when I'm looking at what I can't accomplish. Every day I get strengthened. It's not because I'm just living on a whim, hoping that it works out. Every day that I come and give you my whole heart when I preach, I'm not doing it looking at my situation and saying that there is no way. The only way that you can stand in this day, somebody say, in this day. The only way that you're going to stand in this day, if you want to be a survivor, you've got to remember what brought you out of what you could not do on your own. The children of Israel were underdogs. They could not have escaped bondage under Pharaoh's grip. They could not. So a God that had compassion and loved them caused a heart that would have never been turned otherwise to utter the words, go, go. And some of you might feel like that you're under the grip of Satan tonight. But God is not under Satan, nor is His authority less than the devil's. Now you might want to go out of here and still live like you're in bondage. But the Word of God tells me that He is greater than Satan. So there will come a moment that if you'll trust the Lord, He'll cause your Pharaoh to say, go, go, glory to God. There's been some people that I have seen healed from cancer. Glory to God, they didn't get healed just by sitting there and hoping that they got healed. There had to be something in them that believed that God was greater than the sickness in their body. And when the faith is greater than the substance of unbelief, the mountains begin to be moved, and everything that you stand in need of, God can begin to perform. He brought them out of slavery. God has saved you, right? He saved you out of bondage. But he didn't leave you to wander in the wilderness. They started out their journey and didn't even have a way to keep themselves warm when they needed to be warm and cool when they needed to be cool. So when they needed to be cooled down, what did God do? Gave them a cloud by day. And when they needed to be warm at night, he gave them a fire by night. They did not freeze to death, and they didn't burn up in the sun. He led them. They came across a river that they could not have crossed on their own. And he loved them enough to not leave them in fear of the enemy that was hot on their tail. He opened up the waterway that could not have been done by science, could not have been constructed at that time with their knowledge of technology. They couldn't have built it fast enough. They couldn't have built a boat in time to escape the wrath of Pharaoh. Some of you might be looking at what you're dealing with and feel like there's no escape. But I'm telling you, the God that you serve will cause the waters to be parted before the devil ever gets a hold of you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Let me not forget his benefits. He brought them through the water, and then they came across and encountered the wilderness. But they were not alone in the wilderness. Have you ever felt like that you have just been wandering around in life, not knowing where you're going, and you don't even know your name sometimes? You don't know where you put the milk. You don't know where you put the Pop-Tarts. You don't even know where you're supposed to be going. I remember I've been so mixed up before. When I got a new job, I was starting to drive to the other one. Forgot that I was even hired. Got so nervous about going to work, I showed up at the wrong door. If you're not careful, you can get so caught up in your mind and lose out on the very thing that God is trying to bring you out of. He didn't want them to sit in the wilderness for over 40 years. Don't you know that the journey that would have brought them out unto Canaan was only 3 days for them to travel? So tell me why we wander in our mind. Satan wants you to get aggravated at your boss because you're not getting paid enough. He wants you to get aggravated with everybody because they don't come by and make you feel good and tell you hello and talk to you. And he wants you to beat yourself up and live in self-loathing and not feel like that you're worth anything. But I'm not here to cut corners, and I'm not here to play games, and I'm not here to try to sugarcoat what the Lord is trying to tell you tonight. You see, the Holy Spirit has come for this generation that we can have an encounter with that Holy Spirit, and by that encounter we're able to be made more than overcomers. And I'm here to tell you, you might want to self-loathe, you might want a pity party, but God didn't call you to do that. He is not moved by your pity. He is moved by your faith. And if you'll serve him and have a little bit of an encounter with God, I'm talking about letting the tears flow. I'm talking about letting your knees get carpet burned where you get down and call out to the Lord. I'm talking about making the neighbors call the police on you because they think you've done gone crazy. I'm talking about playing and singing music until you can't even sing anymore to keep the joy of the Lord in your spirit. Will work till we can't work anymore for a dollar, and you're going to tell me that you're going to self-loathe over this? God didn't call you to be that way. He didn't call you to say that I can't do it. He called you to say that I can do all things through Christ, which is my strength. They made it through the water. They made it out of bondage. They made it through the wilderness. But even when they were in the wilderness, he didn't let them go hungry. He didn't let them die of thirst. How many of you see that manna as the word of God? What once was satisfactory became bland. Maybe this message 6 months ago would have caused you to run around the church and do a couple laps. But maybe this wandering around in the wilderness has caused something that you once could be satisfied with to grow bland. And my heart is broken for those that are living a bland Christian life. God didn't call you to live with no feelings. He didn't call you to live without joy. He didn't call you to live in bitter waters. He wanted you to have the very thing that would cause you to be a winner and not a loser. And that's the Holy Spirit. As you believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. And by these encounters, it changes something up here. It causes us to not walk by our sight, but walk by something that goes beyond our senses. Don't get in the pitfall of looking for something with your natural eye, because if you stand there long enough and look for it, you'll miss out on where you were supposed to be. The battle you fight today isn't carnal. So anything that comes to attack your emotions is of Satan. How many will agree with that? And every day, this is why forgiveness is so important. Every day that you live with this bitterness, you're one day further from true freedom. There was one that inquired about how many times that I have to forgive somebody in their foolishness. And it said 70 times 7, but it didn't just say a year, it said every day. What kind of love would it take for you to walk in that would cause you to forgive somebody that many times if they did the same thing? That kind of love is not in here. By default. That kind of love, if you're not married yet, you don't know what I'm talking about. That kind of love is not there by default. If you want anything to hold together, it's got to be with God as the first head in your life. They had the manna. They had the water, which represents the Spirit, right? We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit. And we even know where we're going. We have a promised land. But yet we find ourselves wandering in the same old thing. He didn't want us to wonder where we're going to be. He didn't want us to worry about the things which are earthly. He wanted us to get a vision that went beyond what we saw. That's why it said, don't walk by sight. Because sometimes your sight betrays you. Sometimes the way people are treating you will betray you. Sometimes that walk of loneliness will betray you. There's been some times that I've never been closer to God, but couldn't have been further away from friends. There's been some times that I couldn't have been happier, but I was so lonely, I didn't have anybody to comfort me but Him. How many body has ever been there before? Have you only had God? Have you ever have been in a place where He was the only one that could have blessed you? I've been there, and that's why people can do what they want to, but it's not going to cause this cause to stop. They finally get to the where they were called to go, and they begin to erect houses. That's what the scripture was talking about. And they begin to raise livestock, and they begin to erect other gods. You might not look at your cell phone as a god. You might not look at what you do on your cell phone as a god. You might not look at what you watch on TV as a god. You might not hear people saying, praise TV. You might not see them dancing a dance of praise for their favorite TV show. You might not be looking at your drama at home as a god. You might not be looking at the bitterness as a god. But anything that we give our time, effort, and energy to that takes the place of God being first is idolatry. How many times have you ever been discouraged? And maybe somebody's done the nervous shuffle before. I've been sitting, waiting on a meeting, and I grab my phone and flip the slide over and it opens up. Flip the app pages. There's nothing to open. You go to your email. You check your email. There's nothing to read. You go check Score Center to see if the Vols are playing this weekend. You don't care. You go and send 15 texts, try to say, hey, how's it going? Nobody writes you back. Have you ever been in this place before? You're just wondering. You're wondering. You're searching for something. And the Lord is trying to tell you tonight, when you're wandering around in the world and you're looking for an answer, you need to look at the things that you're devoting your time to. You have to remember a time when you couldn't do it on your own to make you be humble. You've got to look back at the times that you didn't look as pretty as you do today, that you didn't look as dignified as you do today. I remember a time where I just flat out stunk. I didn't even take a shower. I remember a time I had 18 inches of hair and it didn't look that pretty. I remember a time I wore all black and I had a dog chained down to my knee. I looked like the most foolish person I ever knew, but I thought I was looking good. But I've got to look back to who I was to remind myself now that there's a God in heaven that has not left me. He didn't leave me then, and He's not gonna leave me now. Played heavy metal played death metal, everything that went against everything I'd ever known. I still look back at that guy. Part of me thinks, thank God I'm free. And part of me thinks, what in the world was I thinking? Sometimes I ask myself, what was my wife thinking? We're high school sweethearts. We met when I was that guy. So just ask yourself what kind of faith she's had to have to deal with this. You've got to look at all the times that maybe you've blocked off in your mind to remember a time where God has done something special for you. And if you dare let other church members keep you from praising God because of that, it's only your fault. He gave it to you. He gave you a miracle. He gave it to you. You didn't just run into it and, oh, Lord, I'm blessed now. You didn't just run into it. You didn't just stumble into it. You're here today because the Lord has meant for you to be here with a purpose. He wants more time with you so that you can go from being an underdog to an overcomer. God is warning us tonight, as He did to them then. We all have somewhere to go. We all have possessions. But don't you dare think that you did any of it on your own. You might be successful now. You might have over 1,000 friends on Facebook. But don't you dare define your success as only something that you've done on your own. You might think, well, I beat cancer. Well, I beat leukemia. You didn't beat it on your own. You might think, well, I'm a free person from drugs. But you didn't beat it on your own. You might think, I'm here tonight because I've done enough good works in my life to be able to praise the Lord. But you couldn't sing enough to enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's only one way, and that's to remember the Savior that took the beating, and He had the crown of thorns on His head, and He died that fateful death that we would always remember who we were. And the most powerful thing about it all is that who you were is forgiven. Say forgiven. Is forgiven and is forgotten. Say forgotten. It is forgiven and forgotten, and then gives you the power to look back not in shame, to look back not in guilt, but to look back in humbleness. When I think about some of the times I almost died from an overdose, it makes me want to put the mic down. Makes me want to get in my car. Makes me want to go home and think I could never do this again. Think about how others, friends, family, maybe looked at my life and said, he's not going to make it. Maybe they already had my funeral in their mind. That I do not know. And I could think about that sometimes and makes me often try to get discouraged. And, well, who do you think you are to get up and tell anybody about Jesus? And who do you think you are to get up and ever praise the Lord? And who do you think you are to buy you a button up and call yourself anything? Who do you think you are to be anybody? If you live in that kind of thing, I'm here to tell you destruction is the only means of an end. There are Christians that commit suicide as much as those that don't even know Christ. I'm talking to those right now that have been wandering in their mind for a long time. I'm talking to you right now, those of you that have wandered so far and wandered so long if God was going to do it, that you have lost who you are, you've lost who you were, and you've lost the very good thing that God has given you to celebrate. And I'm here to quicken your spirit. I'm here to do the two-step if I've got to. I'm here to shout to the rooftops to remind you that you are not alone in this fight, that you're not by yourself. Look over at somebody and say, hey, how's it going? You're not the only one that's sitting in the congregation tonight. You're not the only one that says they believe. Don't put me in a building with a bunch of dignifieds, because I'm going to mess that all up even before I even have a chance to tell them my own name. Because he did not save me when I was dignified. He did not transform Paul when he was perfect. He did not transform anything that stood in justified self-righteousness. Isn't that amazing? He took what was broken, torn apart, not worthy to live, and caused a turnaround and a transformation.